Amen. How many love Jesus?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Grab your Bibles with me tonight. Go with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Exodus, chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Thank you, worship team. Amen. Amen. Step down and to your seats and grab your Bibles. Tonight, I titled this message, Burn, Baby, Burn.
Ooh.
Burn, baby, burn. How many on fire for Jesus?
Yeah.
Then you ain't got no problem burning.
Hello.
In a good way. Amen. In a good way. Amen. Not the bad way tonight. Amen. In a good way. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Verse 2. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Father, bless the reading of your word, anointed to our hearts here tonight. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated here tonight. Amen. A burning bush was not uncommon in the desert. It was not an uncommon thing. Contrary to popular belief, a burning bush was very common in the desert. They're still common in the desert today. The reason being is because the desert is a very dry place, a very hot place. So whenever you have a dry place and a very hot place, you have a recipe for a fire. So a bush that is in the desert is obviously dried up. It's very dry. There's no water in the desert. So for there to be a burning bush, or for Moses to see a burning bush in the desert, it wasn't something that was uncommon. It wasn't something that was really strange to see a burning bush in the desert. But what was strange about this burning bush is that this burning bush didn't burn out. It wasn't uncommon to see a bush burning in the desert, but it was uncommon and it was strange to see that bush not burn out. See, if there was a burning bush, that bush would burn only for so long, but after a while, it would go out because it would be finished burning when it was burning up.
Yeah.
So the strange thing about this burning bush is that this burning bush never went out.
Come on, man.
So Moses must have been walking on the far side of the desert near the mountain of God, the Bible says. And as he was walking, what caught his eye is the burning bush. And he's seen a lot of burning bushes. But the problem with this burning bush is that at the corner of his eye, he expected for that burning bush to begin to smolder and begin to smoke out. But it did not happen. Instead, this burning bush kept on burning. Instead, he kept on seeing the flames of the fire burning in this bush. And as he walked by, and he says, man, that bush is not burning away. All the other bushes I've passed by today, they've burned away. But this bush hasn't burned away. Today I want to talk to you about staying on fire for God.
Yeah, come on.
Huh? We must be that type of bush that does not burn out.
Come on now.
There's too many people that burn out.
Come on now.
There's too many Christians that burn out.
Come on, Pastor.
And you know that sometimes they burn out is because, you know, they just burn. They're like a firecracker.
Hey.
Come on now.
We don't want to be a firecracker Christian.
No.
That you just kind of pop and that's it. You know? That's not the type of believers we want to be. We want to be a people that we know how to stay on fire for God. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Huh? See, to be on fire for God means to have passion for God.
Right.
To have a passion for God. See, that's what differentiates a Christian that's on fire and a Christian that is not on fire is a Christian that's on fire keeps their passion alive throughout the years.
Man.
Don't tell me it can't been done. Don't tell me it cannot be done. Because we have many examples in our ministry that have done it and that are doing it and that are still on fire for Jesus.
Yes.
Huh? Since 1967, this ministry has been on fire. Before that, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie have kept the fire burning within their lives. And because of that, we are here today, a worldwide ministry. Why? Because they have not lost their passion. They have not lost their fire. They have not lost their desire for prayer, their desire for God, their desire to see people saved.
Wow.
That fire, that passion has not burned away. It is a passion that's inside of them, that comes from their fire, that comes from God. See, passion is a powerful tool. It is a powerful tool. The most powerful weapon today is the human soul set on fire for God. That is the most powerful weapon today is the human soul on fire for God. Listen here today. You got to choose here today what type of life, what type of Christianity you're going to have. Are you going to have a Christianity that causes you to be on fire for God for the rest of your days? Listen, if you do not have this type of Christianity, my friend, you are in danger of burning out. You are in danger of not being here one day. You got to make a commitment to say, I'm going to be on fire for God the rest of the days of my life. And every day you make a commitment to get up and to pursue that fire and to light yourself on fire and let the world watch you burn. How do you do that? You know how to do it. We preach on it all the time. You gotta stay prayed up. You gotta stay in your word. You gotta stay evangelistic. You gotta keep that passion inside driving you forward. Staying on fire. It can be done. My friend, I'm on fire for Jesus. I got on fire when I got saved. And listen, that fire has not burnt out. It hasn't. It's probably changed a little bit, but it has not burnt out, my friend. There's still a fire of God, a passion to do something for God. There's still a desire. I still long to drink the water of prayer. I still long to be in God's word. I still long to save souls. I still long to preach the gospel. I still desire to give my all to God. See, people with passion will rise above their circumstances. Huh? See, the thing, when you're not on fire for God, when you don't have passion for God, when you're not on fire for God, every little thing will trip you up.
Wow.
Every little trial will trip you up. Every little trial will cause you to want to throw in the towel, will cause you to want to give up, will cause you to slow down, my friend. But listen, when you have a passion for God, when you're on fire and you have a passion for God, you will rise above all the circumstances the world throws your way, all the trials the world throws your way. Because listen, because what fire does and what passion does, it gives you momentum. And when you have a spiritual momentum, when you have momentum in the ministry, when you have momentum in your life, my friend, the devil can throw things your way, but they ain't gonna faze you. Because you know why? Nothing hurts when you're winning, my friend. When you're winning with God. When you're making advancement for God. When you're taking territory from the enemy. You're like gold. You're a go-getter. Listen, you keep on going. Why? Because you're driven by your passion and you rise above your circumstance. In 1960, in the 1960s, the circumstance was once a junkie, always a junkie. In the 1960s, that was the circumstance in America. If you were a drug addict, they say you're always going to be a drug addict. You're a heroin addict. You're always going to be a heroin addict. In the 1960s, the government didn't have an answer to the epidemic of heroin. Oh, but in 1967, God chose to raise a victory outreach through an ex-heroin addict. And listen, that demon, that back of that demon was broken. And so today, we have ex-heroin addicts that are pastors, that are preachers, that are missionaries, that are world shakers. Why? Because we rose up above our circumstances. Our founders, through God, they changed that.
Amen.
People with passion, people with passion tackle overwhelming obstacles. People with passion, people with a fire, they tackle overwhelming obstacles. They're a fire that does not burn out, my friend. That's the type of people God wants us to be, that we don't let obstacles hold us back, but we keep that passion of God forward.
Amen.
We got to be people of passion. We got to be people of passion. Now, what distinguishes kingdom builders, like we talked about on Sunday, what distinguishes kingdom builders from most of everybody else is their passion is what distinguishes them and what causes them to be different. Passion causes somebody to build the kingdom. Passion causes somebody to build a church. Passion causes somebody to build a ministry. Passion causes somebody to win souls. It's a passion for God. It's a passion for souls that causes us to build for God's honor and God's glory. See, passion makes a difference wherever they're at. Wherever you're at, passion will make a difference. It doesn't matter your circumstances. It doesn't matter situation. It doesn't matter what city. It doesn't matter your community. If you have a passion, you will make a difference in that community. Right. You will make a difference in that ministry. You will make a difference in that home if you have passion.
Amen.
See, men with passion, women with passion are not afraid to take risks.
Wow.
You got to keep the passion burning for the mission. The mission that is in our hearts. You got to keep the passion burning. See, it's sad for men and women to experience spiritual burnouts. You see, people experience a spiritual burnout. See, this is one of the biggest enemies to Christianity today. This is one of the biggest enemies to the ministry today, is when people begin to experience spiritual burnouts because they begin to lose their passion. What causes burnout? One is neglect. Neglect. What happens is we begin to take for granted the things God did for us. Begin to take for granted the things that God did for us. We begin to take for granted the parting of the Red Sea. We begin to take for granted how God saved us. We begin to take for granted the miracles. We begin to take for granted our salvation. We begin to take for granted our calling and our purpose. We begin to take for granted things. Why? Because we neglect those things. You got to think about what God did for you. You got to think about what miracles He did for you. Never forget the pit that He drug you out of. Never forget the state of mind He brought you out of. Never forget the circumstances and the trials or the prison or the addiction that He brought you out of. We should never forget that, my friend. We cannot neglect such a great salvation, the Bible teaches us.
Amen.
What causes us to lose our passion is the neglect. We begin to forget. We neglect staying grateful and thankful before God.
Amen.
We neglect how God saved our life. We neglect how God saved our marriage. We neglect what God bringing our children to salvation. Neglect. Neglect. We begin to neglect these things, neglecting our salvation. And then also we neglect our spiritual life. We neglect our prayer life. We neglect our reading and our devotion life, our study of God's Word. We neglect things like fasting and worship. We neglect things like giving. When we begin to neglect these things, listen, this is when we will begin to lose our passion and our fire for God. This is why it's important that you keep your spiritual disciplines up, that all of us together, that nobody can jump into your body and do it for you. We can't jump into your body and pray for you.
Wow.
We can't jump into your body and read the Bible for you. No, my friend, the Bible says you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And every day you got to fan the flame through fasting and prayer and through the reading of God's word and through study and through worship and through giving and through evangelism. We got to fan these things, bring the flame into our life. And we neglect these things. We begin to lose our fire. We begin to spiritually burn out. We begin to lose our passion. And the other thing that causes people to burn out is when they feel underappreciated. When you begin to feel underappreciated, you start to think, well, nobody cares. Nobody says thank you. And all of a sudden, because you're looking for a feeling from somebody else, and you don't get that. Listen, we live a life of faith, my friends.
Right.
And we shouldn't always be looking for that pat on the back. We got to know that we got to, like that song says, we got to know who we are in Christ Jesus. And you got to know that you're the apple of his eye. And it doesn't matter if a pastor doesn't tell you thank you, or your leader doesn't tell you thank you, or the church doesn't say thank you, or nobody cares. And you got to know that God sees. He's an all-seeing eye. And he sees every single thing that you do for him. He sees every single giving that you do for him. He sees every single flyer that you pass out. He sees every single sacrifice. He sees it all. Quit looking for a thank you from man and know that God got you. Because if you're looking for a thank you from man, you're going to begin to feel underappreciated. And then you're going to get in your feelings. Nobody can. Nobody can. The troubles. Huh? And then all of a sudden, because of that, you begin to lose your passion. You begin to lose your drive. You begin to say, man, well, why should I do it if nobody even says it? Nobody says you, because you're doing it for souls. You're doing it. You're doing it to lead people into worship. You're doing it for the children. You're doing it for the souls that are lost. You're doing it most of all for God. You're doing it for God, Jehovah, our Father in heaven, so that when you stand before him and you will hear those words, those faithful words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into thy rest. Yes.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Huh? Know that God appreciates you. And listen, and really in reality, God don't have to appreciate us. Huh? He don't have to appreciate us. Come on, somebody. Huh? We're his children. He saved us. We owe it to him.
Wow. True.
Huh? Then also what causes us sometimes to burn out could be conflicts. Conflicts. People problems, conflicts in the church, conflicts in the family, conflicts at your job, people problems. Listen, let me tell you something. The ministry is about people.
Amen.
My pastor told me when I came into the ministry, listen, you're going to have to change, because you're going to have to start to love people. Because if you want into the ministry, ministry is people.
Yeah.
Ministry is people. It's not a thing. Ministry is people. Yeah. Listen, we are called to work with people.
Amen.
And people bring problems.
Yeah.
Huh? A guy, at a married couple's Bible study, somebody once said, hey, lift your problems up to the Lord. A husband started to pick up his wife. Huh? People bring problems, my friend. Huh? You came in with a lot of problems. You still got a lot of problems. Come on now. Huh? And listen, but this is why you got to be ready for the problems. Huh? Especially leaders. Leaders got to be problem solvers.
Yeah.
Not problem makers.
Oh,
come on, somebody. Got to be problem solvers. Huh? If we're going to help people, guess what? We're going to help them out of their problems.
Right.
See, that's the problem with some ministries. They don't want to get their hands dirty.
Oh.
They don't want to get up in the midst. They don't want to get dirty. But listen, as a ministry, we're called to help people out of their problems. And you know what? Most of the time, their biggest problem is them. Is their attitude.
Right.
Is their thinking. It's a philosophy. And it's not easy to say, hey, buddy, I'll tell you the problem.
Come on.
It's you. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh?
True.
It takes a bold brother. It takes a bold sister. It takes a person with the love of God to think like God. You know how God thinks? I love you too much to keep you the same. Huh? I love you too much to keep you the same. God saved you, but he doesn't want you to stay the same. Because if you stay the same, guess what? You're just going to repeat the problems. Huh? You're just going to repeat the problems. And so what causes sometimes us to burn out is because of problems, conflicts in the church, people problems. But you got to understand this, that iron sharpens iron, my friend. The book of Proverbs says iron sharpens iron. So listen, if you're going through a problem with a person, whether at your job, whether in your family, or whether in the ministry, it's all right, because you know what God is doing? God is just sharpening you up.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Huh? He's just making you better. He's just making you sharper so that he can use you. Come on, somebody. Iron sharpens iron. You got to let those conflicts, you got to let those conflicts make you into a better man of God.
Yeah.
Into a better woman of God. Don't let them make you bitter. Let them make you better.
Yeah.
The fourth thing that will cause you to burn out is when we compromise our values and principles. When we begin to compromise our values and principles that we get through the Word of God and that we get in our ministry. Huh? Don't let compromise put your fire out. We begin to compromise. Listen, and every Christian, you're gonna struggle in this area. Every Christian, you're gonna be faced with a compromise.
Wow.
I don't care who you are. Listen, we live in this world, and the enemy's gonna throw compromise your way. The world itself is trying to get you to compromise. Your family will try to get you to compromise. Friends will try to get you to compromise. The flesh will try to get you to compromise. We got to stick to our values and our principles that God has given us through his word, through our ministry.
Amen.
Because we cannot let compromise put our fire out.
Amen.
We can't neglect our spiritual life. Look at 2 Timothy 1:6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 6. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul is telling Timothy, don't let your fire go out. Huh? Paul is telling Timothy, listen, I'm not saying that your fire's gone out, but I hear the story. I know that you're in the ministry now. I know you're the pastor of the church of Ephesus, the biggest church around. And I know this, that if it's the biggest church around, that means there's a lot of problems in that church.
Right.
Huh? He said, we want our church to grow. Do you know what you're praying for?
Yeah.
Huh? Do you know what you're praying for? Huh? When we pray for church growth, we're praying for problem growth. But that's not going to stop us. That's not going to stop us. Because we understand. Come on, somebody. We understand. Yeah, church growth means more people. More people means more problems. But it's all right. Because it's all worth it to take people to heaven with us. It's all worth it to empty out hell and fill up heaven. It is worth it to me. It is worth it to my wife. It is worth it to the leaders for problems to come. Yes, problems will come. People will bring their problems. People will bring their attitudes. People will bring all their baggage. But it's okay. Because I'm ready for a good fight. We've never been the one to run from problems, my friend. Huh? We face our giants. We don't run from our giants. And we don't pet our giants either. Come on, somebody. Huh? We deal with them. We deal with them. Paul is telling Timothy, listen, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Don't let your fire burn out. Fan the flame, the gift which is in you. I know it's in you because I work with you. There's three elements to keep a fire burning. Three elements that a fire needs so that it never dies. Wind, heat, and something to burn. This is the three elements. In order for there to be a fire, there needs to be wind, heat, and something to burn. The wind is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. I love the definition in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, about the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Jesus gives that definition. He says, the wind, you don't hear, you don't see it, but you hear it. You don't see it, but you feel it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. You don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. And he says, such are those that are born of the Spirit of God. Such are those people that are born by the Spirit of God. Huh? You don't know where they're going. You don't know where they come from. Huh? It's like one day you just got saved, and all of a sudden you just got saved, and now you're a different person. And you show up to your family, you show up to the neighborhood, and you're like, where did this person pop up from? Where did this individual, you weren't this type of person when I knew you back then. From whence comest thou? Because we've been born of the Spirit. We've been born of the Spirit. We're a different person. It's like Moses. Remember Moses? Moses? He just disappeared on the Egyptians and the Israelites. And then he shows up in front of Pharaoh talking about let my people go.
Whoa.
Moses was like, Pharaoh was like, Moses? You're like Houdini. You popped away and you popped back in, and now you're just like preaching some type of crazy stuff. Talking about let my people go. That's how the Christians are. We get saved, we get born of God, we're over there dropping it like it's hot at the club, slanging dope, smoking dope, we're committing every sin in the book, and then all of a sudden, we're not there no more.
Come on.
God tucked us away in the home, God tucked us away at the church, God tucked us away somewhere, and then all of a sudden, one day, they see you pop back up, passing out flyers, preaching on the bullhorn, telling people to come to church, and all of a sudden, what, from whence comest thou? Because I'm born of the Spirit of God. You don't know where I'm coming from. And you don't know where I'm going. So why should I be trying to get advice from you, my friend? Listen, when you are born of the Spirit of God, you may not know everything that's going to happen in your life. When you're born of the Spirit of God, you let the Holy Spirit have His way in your life. If He chooses you to send you to Africa, then you go to Africa. If He chooses to send you to Ireland, then you're in Ireland. Why? Because you're led by the Spirit. Quit trying to control the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God have His way. But the only ones that can do this are the people with passion and fire in their soul. If you stay fired up for God, a fired up person, if God tells them to go to another city, to another country, they're gone.
That's right.
They're gone. They're like, what? They're gone. Huh? They're out of there. They're on fire. They have a passion. What happens is that the church is trying to control the people, not the church, the people. The Christian, we're trying to control. We're trying to control what the Holy Spirit does in our life.
Wow.
Huh? We're trying to control. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit says, man, this is what I want you to do. Man. I want you to go to Bible study. No, I'm not going to go to Bible study. The Holy Spirit says, man, I want you to come to SNL. No, I'm not going to go to SNL. The Holy Spirit says, man, I want you to go to the streets tonight. No, I want to go get tacos. The Holy Spirit says, man, I want you to do that. No, I'm going to go clean my car.
Wow.
The Spirit of God.
Baby.
Huh? The wind of the Holy Spirit. The wind of the Holy Spirit will take you where no man has gone before.
Right.
The wind of the Holy Spirit. The wind of the... This is why when you see instances in the Bible, even in the book of Acts, you see that happen with one of the evangelists. It's like he was preaching, and then all of a sudden, the Spirit got a hold of Philip and picked him up. And then took him towards Africa somewhere.
Yeah,
and dropped them off.
Yeah.
And says, now preach.
Yeah.
Huh? And then he started preaching. And then after that guy got saved, the Spirit picked him up again.
Yeah.
Come on. And don't even say where he dropped him off. Can you let go and let God?
Come on now, Mom.
Can you let go and just let God? I did not know I was going to be in Grand Prairie preaching the gospel. Huh? Matter of fact, man, I wanted to go to Africa to preach the gospel. And I did. Huh? I did. Huh? But then, well, man, I'm here in Grand Prairie, in Arlington. I was preaching the gospel. Huh? I knew, you know, never would have thought. When you let the Spirit just control you, say whatever you want, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Huh? We need the wind of the Holy Spirit to keep the fire in our lives. The Holy Spirit will also bring conviction to our lives. The Holy Spirit will give us a conviction. And listen, you cannot be on fire for God if you do not have conviction.
Right.
You got to have conviction.
Right.
The Holy Spirit anoints. The Holy Spirit anoints us. This is why on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts chapter 2, it says they were all gathered together in one place. And it says, and then something like a sound of a mighty rushing what?
Wind.
A mighty rushing wind came in and filled that place. And tongues of fire appeared on each of them. And they all began to speak in tongues, my friend. What was that? That was the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the early church. And then in chapter 3, we see in the book of Acts, we see revival take place and over 3,000 people get converted in one church service.
Wow.
At one rally.
Wow.
Why? Because the Holy Spirit anointed them. The Holy Spirit gives us ability to do what we cannot do. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do what we cannot do by ourselves. The Holy Spirit gives us power to serve. And then we not only do we need the wind, but we need the heat. We need heat. To stay on fire, we need heat. Without a spark, a fire cannot take place.
Right.
You know what the heat is in our lives? Our heat are the temporary trials and adversities we face. That's the heat. The heat is the trials, the fiery furnaces that this world throws you into. Huh? That's the heat. Can you take the heat? Some of you can't take the heat. You're over there passing out. That's all about you. Right? But there's some people. Huh? Can't take the heat? That's okay physically. But emotionally, spiritually, huh? You better be able to take the heat.
Right.
Huh? Because the heat are the adversities that come our way. What do they say? If you can't take the heat, get out the kitchen.
Woo! Come on, man.
Huh? But guess what? If you get out the kitchen, you ain't ever gonna get nothing cooked. So if you want to eat something, you better learn how to take the heat.
Hey.
If you want to eat good, you better learn how to take the heat.
Good.
Huh? And the heat, we need heat. Listen, if we're going to stay on fire, you know one way God keeps us on fire is through trials.
Right.
Adversity. Opposition.
Yeah.
Because they keep us on our knees. They keep us broken before God. They keep us seeking the face of God. This is why don't throw a hissy fit when you go through trials. Like James says, consider it pure joy, my friends. When you find yourself in various trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. Can you take the heat? The third thing that we need to make a fire, the piano player can come up, is we need something to burn. So you need the wind, you need the heat, then you need something to burn. You know what got to burn? Burn, babies, burn. You gotta burn. You gotta burn. That's me. I gotta consistently sacrifice. What do we need to burn? We need to burn our flesh. Not physically. Don't get it twisted, my friend. We got to burn away the impurities in our lives. The old man got to burn away. The negativity got to burn away. The doubt got to burn away. The things that I hold on to got to burn away. We need something to burn. Remember Abraham and Isaac? Isaac said, "Dad, I see the wood for the burnt offering. But where is the sacrifice? Where is the offering?" He was the offering. He was the sacrifice that Abraham was going to burn. It was what he loved the most, his son, his only son, who he loved the most. But he made that sacrifice. We got to constantly sacrifice. Lay it down. Laying it down for God. Laying it down like Jesus laid his life down for you and I. Laying it down for the cause. Listen, he doesn't want us to die for him. He wants us to live for him. But to live for him is to deny ourselves. It's to deny what we want and give him what he wants. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable act of service. Jacob's love and his passion for Rachel took the pain out of the sacrifice of 14 years of working for her. Jacob worked for Rachel, for the woman he loved. He actually literally worked for her. He worked for her for 14 years. His father-in-law says, "Listen, I'll give her to you if you work for me for 14 years." First it was 7 years, and then he added on another 7. But the Bible says that those years were like nothing to Jacob because of his love for her. Because of his love for her. You know what he did? He laid his life down because he loved her. And it's a picture of the church today that we should also work for the Lord and lay our life down. Why? Because we love Him.
Yeah.
Because we love God.
Yeah.
Because we love the Lord. Because we love God. And because we love God, man, it's not that I got to, it's that I get to.
Yeah.
It ain't a burden for me to preach. It ain't a burden for me to go to the streets. It ain't a burden for me to sacrifice. It ain't a burden for me to give. It ain't a burden for me to do ministry. It's not a burden for me. Why? Because I love God. I love God because He first loved me and He taught me how to love. And because I love Him, and because I love people, and because I love the church, and I love the ministry, and I love you guys. It ain't not a burden for me. I love to do what I do. And it is a sacrifice. But I love it.
Amen.
And it becomes like nothing. Becomes like nothing. Because we love it. That's the key to staying on fire. Stay on fire. Keep the fire burning in your life. Don't let your fire burn out. It doesn't matter. Listen, there's going to be people that they're gonna be naysayers. You ain't got to be that on fire. You don't have to go to the streets. You don't have to give. You don't have to worship. You don't have to dance at the altar. You don't have to clap. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to fast. And you don't have to pray. You don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to. You get to. You get to. No, you're right. We're in a free country. We serve a free God. He offers salvation. Salvation is free, but everything else has a price tag. But if you want to stay on fire for God, listen, if you do not stay on fire for God, Christianity is going to become boring. It's going to become boring. Becoming a church is going to become boring. But when you get it, when you say, I'm going to stay on fire, and I'm going to jump in, man, I'm not just going to warm up a chair, but man, I'm going to put my hands to the plow, man, I'm going to get involved, and man, I'm going to answer the call of God upon my life. Let me tell you something. some, serving God has been the most exciting thing that I've ever done. Answering the call of God has been the most exciting thing that I've ever done. And listen, excitement is so important for a person like me. Because I lived a life on the edge. Come on, somebody. Huh? We would go and on purpose get chased by the cops. Just for excitement. Come on, let's just do some just so that we can run from the cops. Excitement. Huh? We live close on the edge. And with God, it's the same. I said, man, you know what? Man, I want to do something for God. I want to do something great for God. Man, you know what? Going across the world to preach the gospel, man, that sounds exciting. Going to a crusade, that sounds exciting. Going to the UTC, that sounds exciting. Going to the MTC, that sounds exciting. Listen, you're gonna go take a city, you're gonna go start a church, we're gonna launch you out. Man, that sounds exciting. Yeah. Looked at my wife and baby, we're gonna have some fun in the sun. We're gonna have some fun in the streets. And I heard all the war stories that my pastor said about pioneering. Oh, but it sounded crazy, but it sounded fun at the same time. I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and win some souls for Jesus. I'm ready to build a ministry. I'm ready to do some dramas. I'm ready to preach some messages. I'm ready to make some leaders. I'm ready to make some disciples. I'm ready to raise up some pastors. I'm ready for some excitement, for some fire. Exciting for me to serve the Lord. I love it. I love preaching the gospel. I love it. I love yelling at you. Woo-hoo! Oh, I love it, man. I love it. I love seeing people broken at the altar. I love seeing making an altar call for salvation. I love seeing the backslider come back to God. I love seeing our home filled. I love seeing the church filled on Sunday morning. I love it because the devil said it could not be done. The world said it could not be done. The judge wanted to lock me up and throw away the key. I love it. So thank you, Jesus. Only you, God. Only you, God. Only you can do this. I love to see people come in, men come in, addicted, man, drunk, high. I love to see them come in and see the transformation before my very eyes. I get front row seats to see the transformation. I love to see couples come in. Couples come in. Fighting. And then all of a sudden, they're all. All of a sudden. Look at Jesus. Look at God. I love it. Huh? Sometimes I don't love it when they call them bastard. Come get him. I said, oh, there's a problem. Get over here, that my bad sheep, you. Get over here, you rebel. Come over here. Come in, they're all mad. Bit, scratched. Over here, let me patch you up. Jesus still loves you, little ugly duckling. You, he loves you. I love you too. It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be okay. There you go. You look a lot better. Love it. And you keep on going for Jesus. You might get a little few scars, but it's all right. It's all right to have scars. Shows that you've been through something. I'm afraid of the one that don't got scars. It might be working for the enemy. 007. A tear. It's all right. I love those two. Keeping your fire for God. I don't let problems burn out my. I don't let it. No. I'm going to keep my passion for God, for the ministry, for people. You got to keep it alive. Learn to forgive. When people hurt you, forgive. 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 Have a tender heart and alligator skin. Tender heart and alligator skin. You know, alligator skin, it just rolls off your back. People talk about you. You talk about Jesus, you just roll off your back. Huh? And you don't let it in your heart. Your heart stays tender. You get hurt a little bit. Ooh. But you know what? You still forgive. 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 Because that's how Jesus was. Jesus would have forgave Judas if Judas would have repented. But Judas let it get to him. And it caused him to lose his fire, burn out. While Peter received it, he forgave himself. I thought you got to forgive yourself. You know what caused you to lose your fire also? Is when you mess up and you don't forgive yourself. Jesus forgives you, but you can't forgive yourself. You're beating yourself up. You're your own worst enemy. You're beating yourself up. Jesus done forgave you, man. You're over there. No, well, you know, well, man, I came there. I'm just a nobody, and I'm just a mess up, and I'm just this. You gotta forgive yourself. Because if not, that causes you, you're holding unforgiveness for yourself. There's no way you're going to have a passion for God. Amen. There's no way. Pastor Sonny always says that you can determine the greatness of a man by what it takes to discourage him. What does it take to discourage you? The greatest tool that the enemy uses against Christians is the tool of discouragement. It tries to discourage you. Huh? But you got to be like David. David, it says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. It ain't easy, church, but it can be done. And you have to do that because that's how you keep that fire burning. Stand to your feet. I want to pray for those here tonight. Maybe you feel like you've been losing a little bit of that fire. You feel like you've been losing a little bit of that cutting edge. Maybe it's because of problems. People problems. Problems at home. Problems at job. Problems in the ministry. Maybe it's because of unforgiveness. You can't forgive yourself. Maybe you begin to compromise. Maybe you've neglected prayer, the word, fasting. You've been neglecting church, ministry. You've been neglecting the things that you love when it comes down to the things of God. It's time to get that fire. It's time to get that fire. You didn't burn all the way out because you're here. You're a smoldering wick. And tonight, the Holy Spirit wants to breathe on you. He wants to breathe on you. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, lift your hands to the Lord. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Are you burning? Or are you cold? Tonight, if you need that fire to burn hot, you need to fan the flame, the altar's open. I want you to come. Be honest with God. And if you're on fire, praise God, man. Stay back. You know, it's okay. Pray for those that come up. Pray for those. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for each other. Fan the flame. It's like a candle. You know, we light birthday candles. It's like just we need that one, right? We need that one. And that one gold light lights the one that's not lighted up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Fan the flame. 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 Remember where you came from. Remember what God did for you. Don't neglect your salvation. Remember, don't let the devil condemn you. Yeah, you may not be where you need to be, but thank God you ain't where you used to be. Thank God you're not addicted no more. Thank God you're not at the dope house no more. Thank God you're not tweaking no more. Thank God you ain't twerking no more. Thank God you ain't drinking no more. Thank God you ain't smoking no more. Thank God you ain't in prison no more. Rebuke that devil, you're on fire. Get that fire back. Get that fire back. Get that fire back. Burn that fire, let it burn. Make that sacrifice. Don't stop sacrificing. Don't stop offering up your Isaac. Don't stop offering up your Isaac. Offer him up. Some of you took Isaac back. You probably took Isaac back. Oh, no, no. Lay him at the altar. Lay him at the altar.
Lift your hands, a fresh anointing right now. Lift your hands, sister. Lift them all the way.
God. Your future is in God. Your provision is in God. It's all in God. Let yourself go with God. Let yourself go with God. And you'll be that burning bush. You'll burn and you will not burn out. You will not burn out. If I haven't burnt out, you won't burn out. If Pastor Sunny hasn't burnt out, you won't burn out. If Sister Judy hasn't burnt out, Pastor Jesse hasn't burnt out, Sister Valerie hasn't burnt out. If we're serving God for life, you can serve God for life too. When believing the lies of the devil, if we can preach for years and decades, you can too. If we can be in the ministry, so can you. It doesn't have to end. It doesn't have to end. And the best will be yet to come. And yet, I'm going to tell you about Sunday. Sunday, I'm going to tell you what happens when you stay on fire. I'm going to tell you what happens when you stay on fire. I'm going to talk about earning your bones. That's what happens. What happens when you earn your bones with God? Huh? Something happens. Something happens. Because you stay faithful to the Lord. God, you cannot outgive God. God repays every gift that you've given financially, every service, everything that you've done for the Lord, every song you've sang, every time you played, every time you went to the streets, every time you went to a rally, every time you showed up to serve, everything. Listen, God is going to give back to you 100-fold, 1,000-fold, 1,000-fold. God's going to give it back. Your best days are ahead of you. Your best days are ahead of you. You're gripping greatness. You're gripping greatness. Because you're hanging with Jesus. You're hanging with Jesus. And you can stay on fire for God. And as you stay on fire for God, It don't matter where you're at. You can be in the middle of the desert, you'll be on fire. You'll be on fire. This is why when people complain about the church, it's not the church. It's not the church. It's you. I could be in a dead church and still be on fire. That church don't determine. What determines is what's is the soul on fire. And when I show up, guess what? That dead church ain't gonna be dead no more. There's life. There's life. You choose. You know? But don't get me wrong. You know, you don't hang around the dead too long. You gotta get around some life. Gotta get around some life. Come on, somebody. Because the dead can drain you. Come on, somebody. Stay on fire for Jesus. Amen. And I'm not preaching this because we're not on fire. We are on fire. Man, we Victory Outreach Grand Prairie is an on fire church, man. I'm not preaching this because we're not on fire. I am not preaching this because we're not on fire. I am preaching this because I don't want us to lose our fire. And you made it. Well, I came to the altar because I thought I didn't have. I just wanted you to come to the altar so the wind of the Holy Spirit can blow more fire on you. It's like you know, to us, sometimes we go through things and we know that we're not at the fire that we should be at. You know what I mean? But somebody else that comes in from the outside, they look at our fire and they're like, man, you guys are on fire, man, you're on fire. You know? But to us, it's like, it's not good enough. I want to be hotter. I want to burn more. Come on, somebody. Because we love God. We love God. So let's continue to burn. Let's continue to burn. We're on fire for Jesus. The women are on fire for Jesus. We were at Cold Red last night. Today, we're on fire for Jesus. Our church is on fire. We've been hitting the streets, doing rallies, preaching. We're on fire for God. Giving, we're on fire for God. The preachers, we're preaching, we're on fire for God. The people that come up here and preach, man, they preach fire. Sometimes we may not make sense all the time. But we got fire. That'll somebody. We may not be the best articulate. We may not, you know, we might fumble over our words. We may not know what that word, how to fully pronounce that word. Oh, but the fire of the Holy Ghost. We got that. We know how to come on now, You know, because we come pray. We come pray and we're excited about God. Fire. Amen. Stay fired up. Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We love you. We give you all the praise and glory. Father, tonight, if there's somebody here that needs to be saved, God, save them. Because we don't want them to burn in hell. You don't want them to burn in hell. So, Father, allow the Holy Spirit to draw them to you, to your Son. For we know no man comes unto the Father, to the Son, unless the Father draws them. Draw them now. If you're here today and you need to give your life to Jesus, you want to give your heart to God, I want to pray for you. If you're here, that's you. Wave at me if you want to get saved today. You want to get saved. Anybody want to give your life to Jesus? You want to give your life to Jesus? Anybody here? Everybody cool? All right. One right there, one right there. Anybody else want to get saved? You want to give your life to Jesus? Say this prayer. Say, Jesus. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I accept you to my heart. And I thank you for saving me, changing me, making me a new person. I give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise tonight. Hallelujah.